chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7, we'll start reading at verse number 1. Ask you to stand, please. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy. Been hearing a lot of testimonies along this line. I want you to listen to what God says here. For whom he should do this? For who he loveth? For he loveth our nation. He hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man of under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servants whole that had been sick. We're going to stop reading there and ask God to help us try to bring your few thoughts here tonight. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. Lord, tonight we thank you for every song that's been sung and blessing to our hearts. And then, Lord, the thought about bringing back that new, I pray, God, for revival. And I praise you and thank you, God, that we don't look at ourselves as worthy, but, God, we know that you are. Jesus paid it all, and to him deserves all the glory and praise and honor. And our Father, we thank you and praise you that you loved us so much that you came to us and got us where we were and brought us up to on the rock. And I praise your name and thank you for it. I pray in Jesus' name now, speak to hearts. You know who's here that's lost. I pray the unsaved be under Holy Ghost conviction. God, will you tonight manifest yourself? I pray. The messages you laid upon our hearts, help me be able to get that across. Help me to say what I need to say. I pray, say it in the power of God, and help us, Lord, to magnify the Lord Jesus that we may look unto him and find strength and help. God, you said faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I pray tonight that you'd strengthen our faith as we enter into this meeting. We'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to look, please, with me in verse number 9. And the very last part of that verse says, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I want to preach on this subject, so great faith, so great faith. Now, I'm not an authority on faith, but I'm certainly trying to learn more about it. And the Bible challenges my heart about believing God, and I'd be one to confess quickly that I fail in that area many times, to believe God like I ought to believe God. And I pray God help us tonight as we look at this and getting ready for a revival meeting, that we'll see how some things God says here that will help us in our believing God about revival. Do you want to be in revival special yourself? Do you desire to see something? I do. I desire from my heart to see God do something. We talked this morning about desiring God to do that. We talked about how Elijah prayed that it be for the glory of God, and that people would know that he was a servant of God, and that their hearts had been turned back to God. He wanted them to know that God was God. And I want that to happen in our life. I want to see it happen this week in revival meeting, that we'll know that there is a God in heaven at anxious prayer. And that we know that. We say that with our mouths. We believe that in our minds. But sometimes our actions and our hearts does not match up just right with what we say we believe. I want our faith to be so equal with our action that we show forth that we believe God. And we're looking forward to it and believing God for that. I know that all of us would say that, but I pray tonight as we look at this scripture, God will help us in doing that. How do you identify faith? Turn with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of the heroes of faith. It's a great faith chapter of the Bible. I'm not going to give you a whole lot out of this, but just a little bit in introduction, and we'll try to get into the message and share just some thoughts I see here in Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 10 that we read. Now, and look at verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance. Now, I want you to get that. Now, faith is the substance. And I realize that we tread here on some ground that we need to be careful with, because somebody will take it in the wrong direction and say, he's one of those fellows that believe you name it and claim it, and that's it. I'm not that at all. I do believe that real Bible faith is the substance. I do believe that it's calling something that it is before it is. That make good sense to you? Well, listen to what he said here. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Hang on to that phrase there, not seen. We'll come to it in a few minutes. For by it the elder obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, that man goes crazy thinking about that. Those that are don't believe the Bible, they have a real problem with that. How can you have anything to be that has not appeared? How can it be? He said, that's how we believe that by the word of God, he said it. He spoke it in existence, and now we see it. I see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the earth, and the trees, and I see all of that, but it came by the word of God. It wasn't there. It wasn't any substance there. And God said, let there be. And out of nothing came something, because God said it would, and it did. I can't have preacher explain that. I can't explain that a bit more than I could explain God to you. He just is God. Amen. He just said, let there be. And there was. If God tonight wanted to say, let there be a palm tree right here, it'd be right here. And God can do what he wants to. He can make it grow out of wood. He can make it grow out of concrete. He can make it grow out of anything he wants it to grow out. God can do what he wants to do. Now, if God can do that, and if I really believe that, and I'm really looking for something in revival that I know is biblically right, if I'm looking for some kind of glory in myself, that's not biblically right. If I'm looking for something we can boast in, that's not biblically right. If I'm looking for something just so that it'd please my flesh, that's not biblically right. But if I'm looking for something that would glorify him and bring glory to him, and something that God would be in his will for his glory, I certainly ought to be able to believe God for it. If God can speak a sun in existence and the moon in existence, God can speak to hearts of men and women, boys and girls. God can do that if I believe him. Amen. Amen. I pray God challenge you as he has me in this area of faith. And I've tried to preach it all these years. I've been trying to preach and still haven't got it preached. I still haven't got it all in practice like I want to practice it. I still haven't reached the plateau I want to get to. But I'm reaching out forth for those things which are before me, and trying to forget those things which are behind me. Amen. And going on for God and trying. And we're desperate. I mean desperate tonight to see God do something in revival meeting. Now let's look in chapter 11 some more, and I'll get through this in just a moment. Verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice? Now, he did do blood, and that was a key factor in it, but the only reason that he sacrificed blood was because he believed what God said. God said he wanted blood sacrifice, so he believed him. And verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated, did not see death. He said he was not found because he had translated him before he had his translation. His testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? By faith, he believed God. Simply by faith. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I say amen and amen. Impossible to please God without faith. Must believe that he is. Do you believe that God is? Do you really believe God is God? You got that settled in your heart? You believe God is God? Amen. That's settled, isn't it? Then if we believe that, he said, God will, said God is God, and then that God will hear our prayer if we'll pray, diligently pray. That's what he said in that verse, different wording. He said he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's God. We believe that. Then he rewards those that diligently seek him, and his answers are prayer. And verse number 7, by faith, Noah been warned of God. Why did Noah build an ark for it and never had rain, been a mist come up out of the ground? Why the earth? Why did he build an ark? He believed God. It looked impossible to build an ark and God going to bring a flood and all that, but he believed God. And so verse number 8, by faith, Abraham, when he's called to go out into place, he didn't know where he's going, but he believed God. So he went where God said to go. He just simply went and believe God. We could go on and on in chapter 11, but let that suffice. I believe that answers our question about faith. What is faith? Faith is taking God at his word and acting upon him. Abraham didn't know where he's going. God said, go, he went. Abel certainly probably didn't understand everything about blood sacrifice, but God said, do it, he did it. And Noah didn't understand all about flood, never seen one. He didn't know what it looked like, didn't know how that would be, but he believed God and built an ark. It's simply believing what God said and then acting upon it. So I pray God to help us. Romans 10, 17, so then faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so I pray that God to help us as we hear the word of God tonight, that our faith will be increased and that we may find some help to help us in this. Let me give you about 4 or 5 things about this so great a faith. And Jesus himself said, I had not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And so now this great faith he's talking about. And I want to see some things about this so great a faith. Look at verse number 3. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him. Now here's a centurion. He's over some soldiers, a Roman soldier. And he loved the Jewish people undoubtedly. He had built him a synagogue and all that stuff. And here he was, he'd heard of Jesus. I said a while ago, remember that that not by sight? Remember what I said about that? First thing I want to say about this so great a faith, it's a sightless faith. You don't see it and then believe it. You believe it and later see it. You got it? Now, faith is the substance. Now, this, and we wade out in deep water in this, but I pray God to help us to get into deep water. And that we'll not stay too close to the shore, that we don't get in deep enough to really get what God's saying here and try to help us in this. This centurion, I don't even know that he'd ever seen Jesus. I don't know that he even had any contact with Jesus at all. But he'd heard about Jesus. He heard what he could do. He had heard, and when he heard, he believed what he heard. And he acted upon what he heard and called for Jesus to come. I say to you, that sightless faith. Hadn't seen it, but he believed it. I remember when Jesus said over in John chapter 20, I believe verse 29, somewhere in there, and Thomas was there doubting, you know, and Jesus, after he seen his hands, and he looked at Thomas, and he said, Thomas, said, you believe because you've seen, but said, blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. That's how we got saved. We got saved on sightless faith. I couldn't see salvation. I couldn't see God saving me. I couldn't see what it was really like to be saved. I couldn't see any, I didn't see any stars or anything like that. All I knew was I'd heard that Jesus saved sinners. I'd heard that Jesus could save me. And I believed what I heard, acted on it, and God saved me by his marvelous grace. And now, thank God, I'm with Noah, not Noah, but Moses now. I can see the invisible and claim that imperishable and do the impossible. Amen. That's what he did. And I just believe, as Vance Havner said, that we can do the same thing. Well, God's the same God that Moses served, I serve. Same God in his days, my God in my day. And he helped him, and he looked beyond what he could see and chose that good thing. And I believe we can do the same thing and choose that that's right and step out there to do what God said and let God do what he said he'd do. And so it's sightless. And I want you, sometimes we say we believe, but we're waiting to see it. We want to see it, then we'll thank God for it, and then rejoice in it, and then we say, boy, I believe that all the time. Well, did we really? We agonized over it. Now, I still believe we ought to pray. We still ought to agonize. We still need to be desperate in our praying, and we still need to do all that, but we need to believe God. It's a sightless faith. I can't see Jesus physically, literally. There's one man one time said he saw a 900-foot Jesus. And I say he's full of baloney. Amen. 900-foot Jesus. I wonder what he measured him with. But anyhow, I won't go into that. But that was a long time ago. Some of y'all wasn't even probably born when that happened. But I just thought I'd toss it out. I'm telling you that it's a sightless faith. We believe what God said. God gave his word that we can base it on. And so we see the word of God, but we don't see Jesus and we don't see his power. I can't get a hold of that conviction. I can't take conviction and say, here it is, and put it in somebody's heart and say, now there. And you get, I can't do that. But I it's a sightless faith. But let me say number two. It's a submissive faith. A submissive faith. Look at verse number three again. As a centurion had a servant, verse 2, a centurion, a servant who was near unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus sent to him, elders of Jews beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now here he's doing that, and these Jews come to Jesus. Look at verse 4. And they came to Jesus, and they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy. They looked at the centurion, and they thought, he's been good to the Jews. He's done some good things. He built a synagogue. And he's worthy of having Jesus to come in his house and heal his servant. But I want you to notice how the centurion handled it. He handled it in a submissive way that you and I had better handle it in, or we don't get anything from God. Centurion did not say that he was worthy. Somebody else was saying that about him. And it's been testified here tonight that I'm not worthy. And I'm not, it's not me. That's absolutely true, absolutely right. If you got what you deserved, you go to hell. In fact is, if you got what you deserved, you'd be burning in hell right now. And so would I. We'd all be burning in hell, and God still be a holy God, a just God, and a right God. And we couldn't accuse God of being unholy, unjust, or anything. He'd still be God. It's a grace of God that we're here tonight. And the grace, if you're saved, that's really the grace of God and the mercy of God, that you're born in the family of God and that you're sitting here tonight. But a submissive faith, you didn't deserve anything. Look in verse number 6, what he said. Breaking in down in that verse, I won't read all of it, but breaking in down in that. He said, I'm not worthy thou shouldest enter into my roof, under my roof. Wherefore, verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. He said, I didn't think I was worthy to come to you. I don't think I'm worthy for you to come in my house under my roof. He was getting in a good place for God to help him because he seen himself like he really was. He didn't see himself good because he'd done something for the Jews. He didn't see himself good because he tried to do some right things. He saw himself when he compared to Jesus and looked at Jesus. He said, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve. I'm thinking about revival. I'm looking at revival meeting. I'm not worthy to see God do anything. I'm not worthy to see God breathe through here. I'm not worthy to see God stir my heart. I'm not worthy to see God convict sinners and bring them to Christ. I'm not worthy to see some folk get back in church and need to get back in. I'm not worthy of any of that. I'm not fit for that. I don't deserve any of that. And I can't get down and say, now, Lord, you owe me something. God doesn't owe me anything. If it dried up dry as 4 o'clock, dead as 4 o'clock, and last year's fodder, I couldn't say a word. I don't deserve anything. But this morning, God came by a little bit for us. I praise him and thank him. I want you to know tonight he's coming by a little bit for me in my heart. Even right now, and I'm going to thank him and praise him. I don't deserve that, but our God is worthy. He's worthy, amen. And I don't deserve anything from him. I don't deserve God to even let me stand up here, but God did, and I say praise his name. That God be the glory and the honor and the praise for all that he does. God's good, hallelujah, God's good. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. You remember Simon Peter over there in Luke 5 and 8? After they had that great drought of fishes, they brought them all in the boat and the boat began to sink. And Peter, he came to Jesus and bowed at his knees and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy for you to even be around me. I don't deserve that. You remember that woman in Matthew 15? Now I'm getting to some of my favorite scriptures. You've heard me say it over and over. I love it. I love it. I love it. And starting in verse 21, that woman out of Cana came to Jesus. And she wasn't a Jew, but she'd heard about Jesus too. And she came in behalf of her daughter. And when she got there, she cried. And the disciples said, send her away. And she paid them no attention. Maybe people try to discourage you about believing God for something. And don't pay attention to that discouragement. Just push it aside. And then she kept crying to Jesus. He wouldn't answer first. And then he said, I'm not sent but the house of Israel. And then she came and worshiped him. She didn't quit on that either. She just worshiped. And then Jesus made this statement and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, what he was doing was saying to her, you're no better than a dog and as far as being deserving of anything. And she said, and here's what I really like about it, we would get probably our feathers ruffled calling me a dog. Somebody come to church and the preacher get up and preach and said, you're like a dog. You don't deserve anything. You ought to go to hell. And people get all ruffled about that. Don't you know what? That's exactly could be true. It is true. An unsaved can come in the house. I can honestly say that God, as far as God's holiness is concerned, you're no better than a dog as far as God's holiness is concerned, and you ought to die and go to hell. That's right. I should have. You should have. But, oh, thank God there's more to the story than that. There's more to it. It's not what I deserve. It's what I got. It's not what I was good enough for. It's what he was good enough for. I didn't deserve it, and I wasn't good enough, but God Almighty loved me enough that he sent his son to die for me. And that woman, when he said to her, it's not me take the children's bread, cast it to the dog, and she said, truth. Truth, Lord, you're right. But then she made a great statement. She said, but dogs, they eat crumbs that fall from the master's table. Hallelujah. I say glory to God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad, praise God, I can get a crumb from the master's table. That's better than a steak any time off the devil's table. Anything God's got's better than what the devil's got. And I say for the crumbs, Lord, Lord, let the crumbs fall. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. Let her fall. Let some crumbs fall. Let it rain down on us. Amen. We're not worthy. We don't deserve it. But all we as dogs can get some crumbs from the master's table. And I'm glad tonight we enter into a revival meeting and we can look for God to do something for us and believe God for that. It's a submissive faith, believing God. I'm going to try to hurry. I really am. Serving. But look at the servant. This so great a faith is knowing sightless faith. It's knowing submissive faith. But I want to show you this. It's a serving faith. A faith, this real faith will serve. Verses number 2 and 3, and I'll take time to read them again. But a centurion that was dear to him, a centurion had a servant dear to him, and sick and dying, almost dead. And he loved him enough that he sent for Jesus to come and to help his servant, because the servant couldn't go to Jesus. He's too sick. And the servant maybe never heard about Jesus, but this centurion had. And so he sent for Jesus. There's some unsaved out here. They need somebody. Somebody come to them. And somebody go to them and tell them Jesus loves them. Jesus cares. And somebody can invite them to church. And somebody can let them know that somebody cares and somebody wants them to come, and that there's something, help they can give, and somebody can help them. And James 2:17, here it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That's what God said. And down in that chapter, he said, body without spirit is dead, so is faith without works dead also. If we say we believe but we never do anything, we don't really believe God going to do anything anyhow. If we believe that God can save sinners, I believe that we'll go to sinners and try to get sinners to come. Amen. We'll at least witness them and tell them. If we're going to pray for them, we're going to ask God to help them, then we ought to put some legs on the prayers. Amen. And do something that would help them come. And we need to believe God and trust. You remember those four men in Mark chapter 2? Here's another favorite scripture. In Mark chapter 2, and these four men brought one to Jesus. And they all worked together to get him there. They carried him, got him there. And when they got there, they couldn't get in for the press up on the roof and took it off and let him down. They labored together to get him there. They believed that Jesus could do it, but they had to work to get him there. I hope that sinks deep into us. They believed that Jesus could do it, but they had to do something to get him to Jesus. This centurion believed that Jesus could do it, but he sent for Jesus. Now, it's going to get a little deeper in a minute, but right now we're talking about serving. And so we need to do our part and serve him. But it's a strong faith. I mean a strong faith. Look in verse number 7. He said, I'm not worthy. You come under my roof. Verse 6, and then said, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now he's made another step. He not only believed if I could get Jesus in my house, he could do something for my servant. Then he not only believed if I could go to Jesus and ask him to do something, now he believes if Jesus just say the word, my servant be healed. He moved in a realm of faith that is in deep waters. He got out there in sightless faith. He couldn't see it. He got out there where he without anything except it had to be God or nothing. I preached this morning, it had to be God or nothing. And so Elijah prayed that. He soaked her down in water. He's going to be God do it or nothing. His centurion knew that if Jesus just speaks the word, his servant be healed. I remember Jesus over there, I believe in John chapter 8, I believe it was, somewhere about there. The demons came out, two men possessed, and I don't know what chapter it was or where it was. But anyway, they came out and they met Jesus and they cried. And Jesus, they saying, we know who you are and all this, and don't send us to the abyss, don't send us down the deep. You know what Jesus said? He said, go. That's all he said. And they went. Hallelujah. I'm glad when Jesus speaks a word, it can be. All he said was go, and they went. Amen. When Jesus says, peace be still, there's peace. When Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee, he doesn't condemn. Amen. It's right with God. You remember that woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment? And she had great faith. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get close enough to reach out and stretch out and touch him, the hem, I'll get whole. And she did. That's strong faith. We need some strong faith. We have weak faith. We need some strong faith that can reach out and see that that can't be seen, and reach out there and that we want to see God do, and touch by hem of his garment, as it were, and watch God do something for us. We need that. God wants to help us. He does. He really does. Those four had strong faith. They never would have went up on the roof had they not believed God. Why would anybody carry somebody to Jesus and then go to the trouble to get him on the rooftop, then go to the trouble to tear it off, go to the trouble to get some ropes or whatever they used to let him down? Why would they go to that trouble if they didn't believe God. Strong faith. Fact is, we're talking about this strong faith and this faith that serves and they're doing all that, and a faith that is submissive. All of this, they have. The Bible said in Mark chapter 2, verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. Their, T-H-E-I-R, is plural. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The man they let down, the 4 that let him down. When he saw their faith, he acted on it and said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I believe tonight we need to have strong faith. Let me say, fifthly, and close. Verse number 10. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Here's sufficient faith to do the work. Just believe God. In Matthew 15, 28, break it in on that verse when that woman was there with her, about her daughter. Here's what Jesus said. He said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it as thou will. Be it as thou will. And she was made whole this very same hour. 1 John 5, 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is a victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Faith. Jesus said in verse 9, so great a faith. I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. But this centurion over here in his house had a servant dying. We've got people all around us dying and going to hell. We've got people that's out of the will of God, messed up. They don't understand. They're in a fog or something. They need help. Sister testified a while ago. They need some help. But we got a God in heaven that can hear our prayer and do something about it. And we need to get a hold of God. In prayer, we need to put in action our faith and go after. And then we need to believe that God's going to do something when they get here. Trust God. I can't get saved for somebody else. I can't believe for somebody else. But I can believe that God will convict them and God will back them in a corner. And God will get their attention. God will get a hold of them and do something. Everyone has to make a choice what they do with it. But I'm talking about believing God in action. Believing God. This word of God tells us about faith, and I've not got a hold of all of that. I'm just telling you tonight that so great a faith, I saw these things in that we need to get a hold of that sign of faith and act in this revival meeting. What do you believe in God for this week? What do you believe God's going to do? What do you really expect from God this week? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. So great faith. You tonight that God's speaking to your heart about being saved. You keep saying no to Jesus. You're walking on dangerous ground. God's speaking to your heart. God doing for your life. You ought to come to Jesus and let him save you. Then tonight there are those here that don't need to get saved, but those that need to get their lives straightened out with God. You've grown cold, indifferent. God's speaking to your heart and saying something to you. Then all of us tonight, we think about this thing of faith, what we believe in God for in this revival meeting, looking for God to do. We need some help. We need some help. I pray that God will help us tonight. You may need to come pray and ask God to help somebody. You may need to come pray God help you. You may need to come. I don't know what you need. But God does. You just obey God. Father, take the word of God. Speak to our hearts. Help us do what we need to do tonight and ought to do and should do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.